there was a book out there that could improve the quality of my life, I probably read it. And one of the things that I realized was the daily lifestyle habits that you do every single day, morning routine, having a right diet, meditation, exercise, many of these habits ultimately influence the quality of your life, but also ensure that you can withstand the stress or the adversities that may come.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, glad you're joining us today on a podcast where we're helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. And in this episode, you're going to get tools to help you transcend your negative thinking, gain confidence in yourself, improve your focus, and have more meaningful relationships. And I think those are just a few of the tips of the icebergs of the benefits we're going to get. I know those are all things I want, and I'm sure that you do too. And here to help us do all of that, it is Chaz Scott, an author, speaker, mindset, and resilience coach. He's the founder of Supramentum, a consulting firm specializing in training leaders in peak performance, well-being, and sustainable success. And Chaz also leads a nonprofit. His latest book is Success Starts Within, Achieve Your Potential Through Radical Self-Care. Chaz Scott, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
Thanks, David. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here too. And we're going to dive into all of those benefits that we were talking about there. But before we do, got to start with learning a little bit more about you. And the way we'll do that is, can you take us back to one of your earliest memories of yourself as a leader? As far back as you go, what comes up for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was not that long ago, actually. So I actually do full-time is cyber defense. I'm a cyber defense engineer. And a lot of the work that I do is centered around leading incident response teams and responding to cyber attacks and things of that nature. So my earliest memory is probably about 5 or 6 years ago, where I was brought on board and I had a whole team. And I had to figure out how to manage these folks' resources, as well as understand what it means to be a leader. Understanding what it means to not only lead a team, but lead myself, and also ensuring that I'm taking care of myself, because that also trickles down to the team. So, you know, being sort of fresh out of my master's program and directly into the workplace, I had to understand what it truly meant to be a leader. And I got a full sort of, you know, experience just kind of being thrown into it once I graduated. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about how to lead folks, to have empathy, have patience, but also have empathy and patience for myself. So those go one and the same. So.
And what an interesting environment to have to learn some of those lessons too, because I imagine in terms of responding to cyber emergencies, that's keeping you hopping.
100%, which is really like sort of my focus in terms of coaching, because I started to realize that many high performers, or even just jobs that take a lot of sort of mental or physical resources, a lot of us are burning out and not doing the things that are required for ourselves, not only to achieve the goals that we want, but also sustain the sort of life that we want and not burn out. So, you know, part of my goal is to help leaders and entrepreneurs ensure that they know how to sort of take care of themselves and the lifestyle habits that ultimately contribute to how you perform, how you react, how you respond as a leader.
And that really is a great transition into your book, Success Starts Within. The purpose of the book, as I understand it, is bridging the gap, you say, between wellness and accomplishment by illuminating the principle that our outward success is only as viable as our inner well-being. And I want to dive into more of that through a couple of different lenses here. And one of these, I think burnout's a great place to start the conversation, because overwhelm is real. So many of us, you know, especially if you're in a knowledge work kind of industry, it just doesn't stop. And it's easy to just just continue until you're a husk, right? There's nothing left. So you talk about countering burnout and accelerating success in your personal and professional life through this idea of success starts within. So, and achieving your potential through radical self-care. So let's start there, just because burnout, I think, is something everybody can relate to. And let's start exploring some of these principles. So I'm going to toss the ball to you with burnout, radical self-care, and let's go from there.
All right. You're throwing me in. So one of the things I'd like to first start with, David, is a story. So when I was probably about 2017, and I sort of climbed the ladders of success. I had the car I wanted, had the condo looking over the Potomac in Washington, D.C. I had the dream job that I wanted, but I was working really hard, but my inner life wasn't getting any better. I was still burnt out. I was sort of on the verge of depression, and I wasn't taking care of myself. So I was working harder, but my inner life wasn't getting better. And this sort of set me on a journey to read every book I can on how to improve the quality of my life, neuroscience, spirituality, neuroplasticity, how the brain changes over time, habits. If there was a book out there that could improve the quality of my life, I probably read it. And one of the things that I realized was the daily lifestyle habits that you do every single day, morning routine, having a right diet, meditation, exercise, many of these habits ultimately influence the quality of your life, but also ensure that you can withstand the stress or the adversities that may come. And I got a very sort of early warning on the importance of that. So when I, in my book, I sort of talk about that story, but also lead into sort of why this is important and how you can incorporate it daily from a practical standpoint. So that's sort of, where the book sort of comes from. And as you know, like during the pandemic, there were a lot of change. It was a lot of change happening. People were forced to adapt to work from home. Now people are going back into the office. So, in terms of resilience and ensuring that you can withstand sort of the change, there are practical tools out there to enhance the quality of your life. And it's not saying that it solves everything, but you can at least manage it. Something that you can fall back on to center and ground yourself to be a better leader.
Well, I know, definitely looking into getting into some of those tools. So when you just mentioned a couple, morning routine, proper exercise, diet, all those kinds of things, which so often when people are struggling with burnout, just to camp out there for just a moment, because it's an easily relatable concept, with overwhelm, with, oh my gosh, there's so much, I can't possibly do it all. And the idea of taking what feels like even more time to take care of ourselves and to invest in good nutrition, morning routine, all the rest can feel almost impossible. And yet, as you said, it is a cornerstone of the resiliency to actually be able to deal with everything. So talk more about how, as you, and you outline some of this in the book, obviously, but help us see our way through that. If someone's listening right now and they're feeling that way, what do we practically do to shift that mindset to find the room, to make the space for those kinds of radical self-care?
Yeah, 100%. So before I get in sort of a practical understanding, I'm sure a lot of people, listeners, have heard of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? So at the bottom, you have food and safety. At the top, in terms of taking care of oneself. And then at the top, you have self-actualization, right? But before we can get to the point where I say, I have a thought and I can materialize it in life, right, and change my circumstances, there are things that I need to do for my mind, body, and soul. So that those are key. And ensuring that you can take care of yourself. So the first examples is having a morning routine. When I did a lot of research on sort of kicking off your day, Tim Ferriss talks about if you win the morning, you win the day. I had done the research. I had, read all the books and I was like, okay, I think I know this, but let me do it. So I started implementing these techniques in my own life. So a lot of people talk about, do an exercise routine in the morning, right? They say cortisol levels and stress levels are really high in the morning when you wake up in the morning. So working out in the morning helps to alleviate some of that stress level before heading into your day. They also talk about maybe having a quick meditation session or some type of breathwork routine or even prayer. Anything that is suitable to you to sort of center yourself is helpful to kick off your day. And then another part of that is sort of growing your knowledge base, whether it be reading or listening to podcasts. There's sort of three segments of sort of your mind, your body, and like your soul that I sort of like to highlight on. And those are some of the things that I highlight in my book on how to sort of set your day up for success. And I got to be honest, I read all the books, I did all the research, and I implemented it in my own life, and I started to see changes. In that job that I was burnt out in 2017, mind you, I was burnt out, I was depressed. I was waking up to a job that was just paying the bills. It wasn't really fulfilling my soul, but it was so interesting. Once I started implementing these small lifestyle habit changes, that same job got better. Right? Literally the same job got better. I was able to manage stress more effectively. I was able to, go into my day and effectively lead, and just have that sense of accomplishment. Like I'm heading into the day, but I've already filled up my cup as a leader. And I think that's so critical. Many of us as leaders, as CEOs, as entrepreneurs, we're pouring into so many other people, but the first thing that we should do, especially in the morning, if you can, is pour into yourself. Doesn't mean you have to do everything, but do something that really centers and grounds you. Meditation, exercise, or reading a book happen to be some of those examples that I've discussed in the book.
I'm a proponent, and it's definitely one of those things that I have. It's something I know for a fact serves me, and that I try to be fairly consistent with. And you get into these seasons sometimes, and something disrupts your schedule, and every once in a while I fall out of the routine, and it doesn't take but a couple of days. I'm like, what is wrong with me? It's like, okay, I have not been doing that work in the morning the way that I need to. And when I get back to it, makes all the difference in the world.
And that's the point that I think is so important, David, is having something to fall back on. When you feel like you're out of alignment and you're not showing up as your best self or your authentic self as a leader, you have some tools to fall back on. And I think that's so critical, just in life in general. When you're not feeling well, something needs to change. An example is when you're driving down the highway and your car light comes on, right? We don't disregard it and keep driving. If a car light comes on, we're going to try to address it as quickly as possible because we don't want the issue to further influence us in the future. Same thing with our body. If we know something is off and wrong, we want to address it. But how do you know how to address it? You got to have some tools. So I think that's just critically important, as a leader or just in life in general.
And I think that's a good point, the dash light warning sign, because I think about, and people are different. So I'm an introvert, and the way that my emotions manifest might be different than somebody else. So I get all that. So let's make recognition for individual differences. But for me at least, I'm like, okay, I was just thinking about a couple of days ago, I had this feeling of unease, and I couldn't put it into any better words than that. But I was aware of it, and there is that temptation. You know what? Let me avoid this. Let me go watch this show. Let me read this fun book. Let me do something that's going to distract me from this uncomfortable feeling. When what serves me best is to sit down, stop, and go, what am I feeling? What is this dash light sign trying to say? And then what should I do with that, right? Depending on whatever the circumstance was. And it was funny. There was an easy answer for me in the end, but I had to like tunnel my way through to figure out, oh, that's what's bothering me. And it was actually something I could easily do something about. So, but it took a minute.
And I think that comes with sort of life and over time. I totally resonate with your story, and I know many of the listeners probably do. Is, I mean, you get to a point in life and you know who you are. At least you get to a point in discovering who you are over time. And if you're not performing well or not feeling well, you have those tools in your toolkit to go address it. So I think that is critically important.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking with Chaz Scott, the author of Success Starts Within, Achieve Your Potential Through Radical Self-Care. And Chaz, you know, we dove right into burnout and morning routine and so forth. I want to take us back. What do you mean by radical self-care? And why do you use radical? I mean, that's an intentionally chosen word. So why radical when we're talking about self-care?
Yeah. Okay. So here's a story that I think the listeners might find quite interesting. Every morning I do sort of a run. So I was living in Arlington, Virginia at the time, and I knew I wanted to write a book centered on wellness. So I woke up at 5 a.m. and I was doing my morning run. And as I was running, I was probably about a half a mile in. All of a sudden, I got this thought in my head, and it was radical self-care. And I was like, that's it. I love that word. Let's figure out how to use that. So I went home that morning and started writing this book, okay? The book that's published on Amazon. And it was all centered around this sort of theme of radical self-care and what that actually was. Funny enough, I thought it was the best writing since sliced bread, but I can tell you the next day, when I read it, it was the worst writing I've ever seen and read in my entire life.
I think but I kept writing. Normal experience for every author.
But the moral of the story is, for, you know, 2 years plus, I wrote every single day, and I finally sculpted something together. But when I talk about radical self-care, you know, the term self-care has been sort of really pushed and popularized over the past couple of years. And one of the things that I think is so critically important that we don't often talk about in terms of self-care is sort of the importance of our mindset, the importance of your pattern of thought, the importance of your beliefs, and how that manifests in your life. So radical self-care is more than just sort of a bubble bath or a massage, right? It's really getting down into the nitty-gritties of who you are so you can fully become into your become your authentic self. So what I always like to tell people in my coaching and my seminars is this is all about what I call your pure intrinsic core self, your mind, body, and soul. And there are three parts to you that you need to take care of. And if you don't, or if one is out of alignment, then you're not performing at your best. And radical self-care goes at sort of it doesn't manage the symptoms. It helps to address the core of you as opposed to just a quick little fix. No, this is a lifestyle habit of change that ultimately influence who you are and where you go. In the book, I talk about, I believe it's chapter three, about mental conditioning. Over time, things that we view on TV, read books, people that we listen to, the music that we listen to, all influences our conscious and subconscious minds. And they play out sort of who we are and the behaviors and the actions that we take. So having control and having an understanding of how our external environment influences us plays a critical role. In chapter two, I talk about guard your mind. Stand at the portal of your mind so you know what is influencing you.
Well, let's just take a second and get really practical on that, because first I'm going to summarize what I heard there is that by radical, when you're the self-care, there's a lot of surface things, and a warm bath, yes, and a hot shower, that may feel great, and those are good. We're not knocking that, but it's not radical in this sense of going deep and addressing some of the causes and really addressing and improving and solving for some of those things. So that's what you mean by radical. That's what we're trying to do here. Okay, so then as we're talking about transcending negative thinking, like one of the benefits we were talking about up front, you're saying one of the ways to do that is there's mental conditioning involved and even guarding and paying attention to what's going on with the inputs and the environment and so forth. So let's get practical. Talk to us about how we do that.
100%. I'm all about practicality. An example would be, you know, waking up in the morning. They say a large percentage of us, as soon as we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we do is touch our phone. It may seem small, but obviously there are marketing conglomerates and all these organizations trying to obtain your attention as soon as you wake up in the morning. Many a times, you know, the news could be negative or could affect sort of how you feel as soon as you rise in the morning. We talked about the high cortisol levels as soon as you wake up in the morning. So being mindful of Being protective of your morning hours is really critical. So a recommendation that I make in the book is just to be mindful of, touching your phone is the first thing that you do when you wake up. I wouldn't recommend that you do that unless, you're touching your phone just to check if there's any messages, but being mindful of the news and the information that you're taking in as soon as you wake up in the morning, that influences us and carries with us throughout the day, and we don't even often realize it.
So and as you're talking about that too, one of the things that I'm a big believer in is don't exercise willpower when you don't have to, because we have a limited supply of willpower. So if I'm waking up in the morning and grab my phone, and then I have to exert willpower to avoid the temptation to look at it, I'm already wasting energy. Like if I want to exercise what you're talking about, let me plug my phone into charge in a different room, or, put it on a desk in the kitchen or on the table or somewhere else where it's not going to be, I don't have the temptation. If it's not there, I can't grab it. And somebody's like, well, but it's my alarm clock. Yeah, get a different alarm clock. There's other ways to do that. Set your watch. There's got to be some other way to do it. So they're just like those things that we can do to change our environment that keep us from even having to exercise willpower when it's not necessary.
I love that point, 100%. You want to set your environment up for success. And I think the reason why podcasts and getting resources about sort of your lifestyle habits are so important is because they say that, over 50% of our lives, we're totally unconscious, right? So many times we're doing things and not even realizing that we're doing them, and becoming aware and conscious of your daily habits and the things that may be reinforcing where you don't want to go, right? Or who you don't want to become is really important. So setting up your environment is key. I've tried charging my phone in a different room. That hasn't worked yet, but I do have a alarm on my watch that is really helpful. That wakes me up in the morning. So that's a good key there.
There you go. There's so many different ways that we can do those things, and whatever it is that for us is getting there. But the principle, though, you're so right about immediately, and I'm as guilty as anybody of this, right? The temptation is there. You sit down and immediately there's the false dopamine hits of this is important. It's not. And, unless you have, now maybe if you are responding to cyber emergencies like our guest today, Chas Scott, you might then need to be on those messages first thing and check, is there an emergency I need to respond to? If not, okay, let me set it down. But for most of us, that's not the reality. And if we wake up and spend the first hour before we ever look at our phone, we've just done ourselves a favor.
Yeah, 100%. And, I'm all about practicality. So this is something that you could use and could quite possibly change how your day turns out very quickly. So absolutely.
All right. Well, let's move on to some others here. So again, our guest today, Chas Scott, the book is Success Starts Within: Achieve Your Potential Through Radical Self-Care. And so we've been talking about different ways to deal with burnout, radical self-care, morning routines. One of the things that you talk about is slowing down to speed up productivity. And that is something that I am a huge fan of. Been decades now trying to work on how exactly to do that, and always looking for variety of ways, because I definitely have spent a lot of my life figuring out how to speed up, how to get more done in less time and so forth. And that is ultimately a losing game. The cost of that is our mental and physical well-being. So I love this principle that you're talking about, slow down to speed up productivity. So let's unpack that. Walk us through that.
Yeah. So before we get into sort of practical on that, I love the fact that you brought this up, because many of us, we think, if we sort of put the pedal to the metal, we'll accomplish more. But we've talked about sort of, optimizing our willpower. We want to make this as easy as possible for us. So an analogy that I always use is, if you think about in a car, if you were to have your foot on the accelerator as well as the gas at the same time, I mean, you're obviously not going anywhere, right? You think about that in life. We have demands, we have distractions. There are many things happening in our lives that we sort of have to manage. And dialing it back and discovering sort of what's your why? What are your pattern of thoughts? What are your beliefs? Where do you want to go? Dialing back to who you are and those lifestyle habits that contribute to who you are is critically important so that can set you on a path of success. So I'm all about stepping on the gas, but one of the things that neuroscience and research is continuing to suggest is when you engage in sort of a process of meditation or centering or journaling or doing those things that can really center you, they actually show that your mental cognitive abilities are actually influenced in a positive manner, in ways that we don't often realize. Even in exercise, there was this study by a German scientist in 2007, I believe, where they wanted to understand how exercise can have an effect on your cognitive abilities. So they had two different groups. One group wanted to learn new vocabulary words after working out. The first group learned new vocabulary words before working out. And what they determined was the individuals that learned those new vocabulary words after working out learned those new vocabulary words 30% faster, right? So a lot of people always say, oh, I don't have enough time to take care of myself, or I don't have enough time to go to the gym. The truth is, we can't afford not to take care of ourselves. We can't afford not to go to the gym and exercise and do those things that are required for our mind, body, and soul. Because guess what? They help us get to our goals faster, more efficiently. Of course, you get the dopamine spike after a great exercise routine. So you're enjoying it in the process, or at least managing the stress a little bit more effectively. So, some of these studies are really illuminating the importance of taking care of ourselves so that we can slow down to speed up.
And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, one of the things we talked about is that improving your gaining confidence in yourself, and that way of investing in your health first, and the way that that plays out and helping us be more efficient, helping us deal with the changes and the things that come along in the course of the day, and that we have the ability to do that. And then all of that improves, we're keeping the promise to ourselves, and we're better able to deal with life. That all It's a positive, it's a virtuous positive loop, and it becomes self-reinforcing as the more of it we do. I am sensitive to the fact that when somebody is really suffering, that feels really hard. I've been there. I've been in that mode of like, oh my gosh, how on earth can I possibly? And I hope if you are listening right now and you're thinking that and you're feeling that way, that you're listening to Chad. It's like, take the step of faith for yourself and carve out that 1 hour, or if it's only 30 minutes to start. To do those things and do it for a consistent week or two, and you will see the benefits. And it's amazing how time multiplies when we do that. And I've been there, I get it. But it's one of those things that when you're feeling that way, it really feels like you're jumping off a cliff to get there.
It certainly does, David. I'm glad that you brought up that point because, I mean, obviously change and habits as it relates to oneself, it can almost feel like you're fighting yourself. In fact, that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, you're trying to override, different habits and change who you are. So to your point, taking it one step at a time, starting one day and then, ultimately compounding over time. It's amazing what that can do for your confidence, your sense of belief, your self-esteem, and just focusing on yourself. And then it's amazing sort of how that affects everyone else, your family, and even the people that you lead in the organization, when you begin to sort of pour into yourself to the extent that you can.
Yeah, and I'm curious as you've mentioned the slowing down as you let's take that into the workplace. And I'm curious if as you and even thinking about the work you do, which requires responsiveness and there's a certain level of urgency there dealing with emergencies and all that kind of thing. And in the modern workplace, there is this kind of this go pressure, and yet the principle of slowing down. Slow, go slow to go fast. There's value there. So I'm curious as you think about that or that plays out in your work life, for leaders listening right now, like what are some ways that we can practically think about how to slow down in the middle of our work day in order to get the productivity, get the results that we actually want?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect segue. So I can speak to sort of the start of the day. So, you know, managing cyber teams and the busyness of sort of emergencies, one of the things that I know that I can't do, I can't be everywhere at once. I know that there's a lot of things that have to get done, but I can't do everything all at once. So one of the things that I do every single day before I walk into the office or before I start my day is I lay out three priorities that I know that I need to get done. I know what these three things that I know I need to get done by the end of today to say, okay, I'm forward thinking here and I know what my day, although I don't know what my day is going to look like, I know I got to accomplish these three things to have a successful day. And this is part of slowing down to speed up. You want to have the intention to understand what is important for you to get done today. Many times we wake up in the morning and we rush to work and there's sort of no conscious effort into thinking sort of what a successful day may look like. And I get it. There's lots of change and things that are happening throughout the day. But I know even in the work that I do, there are tasks that I know that are a priority for that day. And if I can get those three things done, I know that I've had a successful day. To your point about the middle of the day, one of the things that I do, what I would recommend to listeners, if you can, carve out maybe 10, 15 minutes midday, if you can, do something that is going to center you, if you can, whether that's walking around the office, whether that's walking outside, you know, reading a good book, something that really sort of can get you back into the right brain. Right? Because we're using a lot of left brain, very analytical. But the important part of that is sort of using your whole brain throughout the day to sort of calm down sort of your mental cognitive abilities so that you can ease off, you know, into the rest of your day and to feel centered to the extent that you can.
And so much of that starts with the premise that you can't do everything. So stop trying. It's what slowing down enough to know what are the two or three things that are going to make this the best day possible. Organizing, arranging, keeping focused on your day in a way that allows those to happen, if at all possible. If not, we're going to deal with it. We'll have grace. We'll get back to it tomorrow. But and then the recentering in the process. So it's all some good suggestions there on slowing down to speed up and get that productivity. Back to our Navy SEALs, right? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, our guest today, Chaz Scott. The book is Success Starts Within, Achieve Your Potential Through Radical Self-Care. Chaz, where can our listeners, they want to learn more, check you out, find out more about the book, where should we go?
Absolutely. So my website is chazscott.com, C-H-A-Z-Z-S-C-O-T-T. On the website, you can find the book, as well as I have three free books, so you can achieve more and stress less. Just type in your email and you can get those free books in your email. Additionally, I also do one-on-one coaching, as well as seminars to leaders and organizations, all to support well-being, resilience, and burnout.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll have those links in the show notes. So Chaz, as we're getting closer to the end of time here, I want to take it to in chapter 4 of the book, you talk about affirming your self-talk. And, you know, there's really this idea of managing the thoughts that are going through our head and the ways that we talk to ourselves. And again, some of this depends on personality, but I know that there have been times in my life, and it's still something I have to work on, where I can talk to myself in a way I would never talk to one of my team members or employees or things like that. Talk for us a little bit about how you manage that self-talk, how you get into a space of that mental conditioning that you were talking about with affirmations and so forth.
Yeah, well, so one of the things I like to talk about, David, is, you know, as it relates to positive self-talk, you know, a lot of sort of forward-thinking CEOs and entrepreneurs feel like affirmations or positive self-talk is just sort of this pie in the sky thing. The real truth to that is day in, day in, day out, we are constantly talking to ourselves. And that conversation can either be negative or it can be positive. It can be unconscious and it can be conscious. So paying attention to that conversation that you're telling yourself really influences the actions that you take and the actions that you don't take, as well as the results that you get and the results that you don't get. So we want to pay attention to our conversation. So in the book, I sort of just illuminate, number one, there's a conversation in your head. Do you hear it, right? There are tools to help bring that to conscious awareness, like meditation and journaling. And then number two, how can we engage in a conversation that is positive in nature and supporting where you want to go? That's number two. And I talk about the importance of that in the book as well. So the importance of positive self-talk and paying attention to that is critical. Now, in my life, there have been times where I'm beating myself up. And many times I don't even realize that I am. It's like I'm stuck in my own head, literally. Mm-hmm. And you sort of have to pull yourself out and say, wait a minute, what is this voice, right? Many times we think that voice is us, but many times that voice is just the, many people call it the ego self or the negative self, right? So we want to pull ourselves away from that and let it, and realize that that voice is not you. And that voice can be influenced based upon how you speak to yourself. Meditation and exercise and many of these other practices help to change that conversation with yourself. Paying attention to that, as well as affirmations and even listening to affirmations right before you go to sleep, can really influence your subconscious mind as well, which is sort of where your inner beliefs are and how you talk to yourself. So there's lots of things that you can do to change that conversation. But again, the most important piece to that is knowing that there is a conversation and realizing that you can change it with some of these practices that I've highlighted in the book.
All right, so let's get our last thought here. Let's get super practical on this one. I'm aware of it. I'm in the middle of the day and I suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I have gotten really critical, self-critical, down on myself. God, you're never gonna get this right. What's your problem? I start having those kinds of thoughts. In that moment, what is one suggestion you have to help us pull out of that and get into a different headspace?
100%. So in that chapter, I have a tool called Disrupt and Affirm. So in order for you to sort of, the first goal is to recognize it, right? You want to disrupt it. A lot of the times we have this unconscious voice and it's negatively affecting us, but we're not aware, we're not conscious of it. So you want to become a conscious, you want to disrupt it. Charles Barkley and NBA players, they actually have rubber bands on their wrist. And if they sort of get into a habit of having a negative thought or something that's not influencing them positively, they snap it on their wrist. That could be an example. You want to do something so your subconscious mind picks up off of it and says, I'm having a negative thought, you know, let me recognize it. So sometimes I have a band and I sort of snap it just to recognize it, right? The next step that we want to do after we become aware of it is disrupting it or questioning it. Is this thought real? Is it true? Where's it coming from, right? Many times we have thoughts that aren't even true, right? If you think about it, they're just coming out of nowhere. And we kind of make up stories because the mind is a storytelling machine. So we want to sort of become aware of that thought and then disrupt it through maybe some questioning as well. And then the last thought is part to that is affirming yourself. So saying to yourself, you know, my job is giving me this really hard task or this really hard job. You know, I don't know if I can do it. Well, you know, I trust myself to seek the resources to be able to accomplish that goal, right? So you want to start changing that conversation in your head, whatever it may be. If it's not that I can't accomplish the goal, maybe it's about trusting the resources of the people that are around you that can help you accomplish that goal. So those are some of the examples. In the book, it's called Disrupt and Affirm. So you become aware of it, you disrupt it, and then you affirm yourself.
Come aware of it, disrupt it, affirm yourself. I'm remembering when my daughter was a teenager and she had the rubber band on her wrist that she would snap. I'd forgotten all about that, but that's what she was doing.
Really?
She had read Barkley or somebody. She was an athlete. And so I'm sure she read it somewhere and then picked that up. Yeah. And I remember asking her about it. She's like, yeah, it's for negative self-talk.
Yeah.
I forgot that. That's awesome. But, you know, and that principle that you're talking about there is that in the moment of like, is this true, whatever I'm saying? And then the disrupt, and then it's like, okay, no, maybe I don't know how to do this. Maybe I have not the first clue, but you know what? I have solved other problems before. So what is the true story that we can tell? I have solved, and I am resourceful, and I can figure this out. I don't have to lie to myself. And I think sometimes we think of affirmations that way of like, I know how to do that. No, I don't know how to do this, but I know that I can figure out how to do this, or I can get help, or I can learn. That I know for sure. So let's tell ourselves that story and run with that truth. That's going to give us the energy and momentum to carry forward.
Absolutely. And I there's a line in the book that I actually say to myself a lot when I feel like I don't know how to do something, or I'm afraid to go out and accomplish it. I say it over and over again. I trust myself to seek the resources to obtain the goal, right? I may not have everything that I need, but I can trust myself to find the resources to get the job done. I say that a lot.
And part of the truth of life and leadership and all of it is that no one was born knowing how to do any of those things. Like, we're all learning and we're all figuring it out. So if you ever get the impression that someone would just, you know, popped onto the earth with all that stuff figured out, it's an illusion. That's not the truth. We're all on that journey of being able to trust ourselves. You can find the resources to figure it out and get it done.
So true.
Love that. Great, great affirmation to end on. Chad Scott, thank you so much for being a guest today on Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
Thanks for having me on, David. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, listener, success starts within. So practice that radical self-care. Chaz has given you so many different practical ways. Pick one. Maybe it's that morning routine. Maybe it's a rubber band. Maybe it's really watching what you're doing with your phone and what kind of influences are shaping your thinking. Or maybe it's getting to some of that exercise or pausing in the middle of the day for that 15-minute reset. You've got so many different tools. Encourage you, pick one that will help you practice radical self-care and be the leader you'd want your boss to be. Until next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.